What's going on? How's everybody doing? This is Bar Heroes. Where it is hip to be square?
Killer, man.
Killer. That was fun. I kind of felt like I was playing for the Indians in the outfield with Willie Mays Hayes in Major League just now. Man, that was fun.
What a great... That was the best intro song.
Let's take off another piece of the owner's clothing on that paper cardboard cutout.
Yeah, right.
We're winning. It's winning time.
Winning season. Oh, man. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing well. How are you, Chris?
I'm phenomenal, man.
This is Barroom Heroes. This is our sports podcast where we talk about sports and all kinds of stuff and have a good time. So thanks for listening. I hope everybody enjoyed the last episode. Let's see, right off the bat, let's go ahead and bring in PunchDrunkSports.com, PunchDrunk Sports Network, where you can find our show. Also on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, everything. We're easily accessible now. So give it up for the easy access. Head up PunchDrunkSports.com. Check out everything they've got on that website. Have a lot of fun with it. A lot of jokey stuff, fun things, and all the podcasts that are on there. They're great. Also, get the SeatGeek app for your phone or computer if you have apps, and use the code PunchDrunk for $20 off any ticket you want. Your first ticket purchase, $20 off.
That's awesome, man.
Yep. Sam likes to say they sell tickets for everything, cockfighting, which isn't true.
But they sell a lot of tickets for a lot of stuff.
Concerts, games, I mean, everything. Most things that they have that sell a ticket, except for movies. I don't think they sell those on there, but...
Harkins is not listed
on SeatGeek. Yeah, go to Harkins or AMC and check that out. But, yeah, go to that website, SeatGeek, or not website, it's an app. Use the app, SeatGeek. Type in the code PUNCHDRUNK for $20 off. Also, one thing that we want to promote is something that we just started putting together, and for all you listeners, mark on your calendar, December 28th. It's a Wednesday. It's right in between Christmas and New Year's. So you get that Christmas holiday joy, and then you're like, Christmas is over, and now I got to wait a week for New Year's. We put right in the middle another good time before New Year's, and we are doing a benefit comedy show at the Yucca Tap Room in Tempe, Arizona. Yucca Tap Room, Tempe, Arizona, December 28th, 7:30 p.m. Tickets are $10. The reason they're $10 is this is a benefit show. We will get into the benefit more later. We can't really divulge all the information right now, but we know where the show is, what the time is, and how much tickets are. 100% of the proceeds go to the benefit. So they do not go to the comedians to have a good time. And you will see myself, you will see Chris Santeni, and you will see Stat Guy Joe on the show December 28th, Yucca Tap Room in Tempe, Arizona at 7:30 p.m.
Hell yeah.
That was you pretty good, man. I focused so hard.
I was going to like interject, and I'm like, no, he is so on a roll right now. I don't want to derail this.
Let's get into Huey Lewis in the news.
Oh, hell yeah.
We started with their song.
Hell yeah.
I get jazzed listening to it.
I can't. I'm never not jazzed.
I want to do the Carlton dance when I hear it.
I can't dance, and I'll try. I hate dancing, and I'll try to Huey Lewis in the news.
Not a dancer.
Not a dancer,
What are you going to do on your wedding day?
I'm going to gut it out and hope that there's some Huey Lewis in that playlist.
Your first dance is just like, what's the song, the drug
I want
song?
A new what drug, dude.
Yeah.
I want a new drug.
That's going to be your
I'll first cut a dance. Rug to that.
Cut a rug to cut the new rug. Drug. Cut a rug.
Huey Lewis is the best. I'm just going to say that.
Huey Lewis is great.
No, the best. Not just great. And here's the thing. I get mad, and this is a very specific thing to be angry at, but I'm going to bring it up because I'm mad. I know somebody who hates Huey Lewis in the news. Hates him, which is already a problem.
Hates them?
It's just like,
not, it's just like songs are corny.
This sounds so 80s. It's so corny. They're cheesy. I hate this. Don't play them.
It
right?
sounds so... Isn't it 80s?
Of course it's 80s.
So it but sounds
it's timeless,
so
really, is what it is. 100 years from now, people won't care at all about the Beatles, okay? But they will be dying to get their hands on a copy of Sports or Four, okay? Back to the Future soundtrack, the couple songs they did, they're going to want those. Okay, anyways. This person does not like Huey Lewis in the news, but loves Phil Collins. And I don't know how to make any sense
of that. I love Phil Collins, too.
Nobody says you can't love Phil Collins. There's a lot to love about Phil Collins, but Phil Collins is not Huey Lewis.
So you're saying if you hate Huey Lewis in the news,
right,
you can't like Phil Collins.
I don't see a way. You can't, to me, no. I know you could try to backdoor in with his like prog band from before when he was in Genesis or whatever, but even then, he became an attempt at Huey Lewis, and he was not Huey Lewis.
So Huey Lewis made Phil Collins. It allowed Phil Collins to be in his place in music.
I don't have the exact history on that. I'm just saying I think that Phil Collins has been carried in the past by his bandmates, Peter Gabriel. And I think he got completely one-upped when he tried to move on. Nothing against Phil Collins. I actually own a lot of...
great.
I love Phil Collins. I got nothing against Phil Collins. I own and cry to that Tarzan song all the time. And
In the Air of the Night's one of the best songs ever.
It's a great song. I'm not saying that Phil Collins is bad. I love him for his music. But he's not Huey Lewis. And I'm just really mad that somebody would say Huey Lewis is no good at all. But I'm really digging Susudio. You know what I mean? That's it. That's what bothers me.
I agree with you. I don't think you can like one and not like the other. Like hating the Police, but loving Sting. Right? Yeah. You can't do that. They're one in the same.
Do you know people who do that? Who are like, I never really got into the Police, but I felt Sting's solo work.
Right?
No, you don't get to do that.
No. And I agree. But I'm feeling the same right now with this person that doesn't like Huey Lewis in the news, but likes Phil Collins. There's a problem. It's like,
and I shouldn't single out this one person because I know there's multiple people, you know. But I just don't agree with it, so I'm gonna.
But
call
this
it out.
Is somebody you used to know. Who sings that song? I don't know.
I'm dangerously close to hosting this by myself from now on.
Gautier.
Oh shit! That wasn't an old song.
Oh no, that's like. What, 4 or 5 years ago?
No. I thought it was like an old song.
Oh, no.
No, it's an original song by the band Gautier.
Okay, well, you know what? I'm going to excuse
band.
Myself.
Learning a lot of stuff today.
If we can actually edit that out, that would be fantastic.
We cannot.
Phenomenal. All right, well.
Your ignorance is on display
when I sang
forever.
It, I swear to God, when I sang that, I thought it was like some sort of Sting song. That's how good I think Gautier is, apparently.
You know what else I found out? You know that song, Higher Love?
Dun-dun-dun-dun, bring me a higher love.
Found out that wasn't Phil Collins while I was researching for this angry rant.
It was Huey Lewis in the news.
It was not Huey Lewis in the news, and I knew it wasn't that because it didn't have the swag that Huey Lewis has. No one has that voice, you know?
You're right.
And no one has that killer saxophone solo that he can pull off in his band.
Oh, so good.
The news can bring it when they need to.
The news is always on at 5.
Always. And that's how they should come out. Why don't they do that? We only play at 5. Here comes the news at 5.
Just in case anyone was wondering, Higher Love is by Steve Winwood.
Yeah.
Oh, the great Steve Winwood. He's blind, right?
Yep, that's him.
Was that Stevie Wonder? Whatever. Same letters. You know what I mean? SW.
Maximum misinformation. Yeah. The Kevin Elliott story.
So.
Anyway.
I don't know a lot about music.
No, it's a.
Obviously.
Yeah, I was going to say. No, but. It's all good, man. At least you know that Huey Lewis dominates. That's all that really matters.
He does dominate. Once the song comes on, it's just like, God damn it. I can't stop bobbing my head like Night at the Roxbury or a whore. It's just nonstop.
I get it, dude. I get that pep in my step. Just kind of bounce around the house, you know?
I may get a chore or two done while that song's playing.
Oh, a lot of chores get done in my house. Huey Lewis is responsible for pretty much any dishes that get done in my house.
Oh, let's see how Huey Lewis in the news translates to sports besides Major League, the movie.
They have a record called Sports.
Perfect.
Segway complete.
NHL team in Las Vegas was announced.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Let's have a chat.
Okay.
I tuned in because I was like, I'm really excited. I was genuinely excited. Like, I'm not going to root for them. I'm not going to whatever. They're going to steal everybody's players. I don't really like how this is working out with the expansion draft and stuff.
What do you mean they're going to steal everybody's players? Expansion draft teams just give up their shitty players.
No, the way they're doing it in the NHL is you can protect players, but you can only protect a certain amount.
How many do you know?
Oh, God. I could look it up.
Like five?
I think it's like 8 or 9.
That's it?
And then anybody you don't – now, people with no movement clauses have to be protected.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, we're looking like my team. I'm getting nervous because the Blackhawks are looking like they may lose like Scott Darling, like a backup goaltender who's money because they can't – you can only protect one goaltender.
What?
Yeah. They're trying to make
the team – they're trying to make this team competitive right away.
Instantly, which – I get that from a money and a trying to keep things even standpoint, but right. I don't really agree with it because that's not fair. Other teams did all the legwork to scout these guys, draft these guys, develop these guys, and you just get to come in and take them. I know somebody will disagree with me. It's just my personal opinion.
I know one of the owners. I didn't know that he was an owner.
Of the Las Vegas team? You know him personally.
He's a minority owner. I mean, he's not the major guy.
Well, right.
But he owns part of the team and invests in the stadium.
Really?
Uh-huh. He was a baseball player for the White Sox.
Okay, dude. So we're going to obviously have to go meet him and hang out at some Las Vegas game. When the Blackhawks roll through, we're going to Vegas in 2017. Yeah.
So the best I can find on the what you can do is a protected list is each team has 7 forwards and 3 defensive men and 1 goaltender that they can protect.
Wow. So Darling
could
or
go.
Crawford. I mean, one or the other they for the Blackhawks.
Right. But then you got Pittsburgh, who's got like Marc-Andre Fleury and Matt Murray, who took him into the Stanley Cup and won last year.
So 7 offensive guys, 3 defensemen, and 1 goalie can be protected. 11 guys from your team.
Yeah,
and then it's pretty much like when the Diamondbacks and the Marlins, no,
Tampa Bay,
right? Diamondbacks and Tampa Bay. What was the Rockies and Marlins, right?
Rockies, Marlins.
Diamondbacks, Tampa Bay came into Major League Baseball. Their draft was, I mean, you couldn't pick very good players. But it also was them going one and then the other, one and the other. It was like a snake draft, right?
Right.
Rays pick first, Diamondbacks pick second, third, Rays pick fourth, fifth, that kind of thing. This Las Vegas team is all by themselves. So they don't have any competition. They can sit there, look at everyone unprotected.
And just cherry pick.
And just pick whoever. They can build a legitimate competitive team. I'm not angry at that.
I
say it out loud, I'm not that angry at it because you're an expansion team. You're going to suck for a long time. This team's not going to be great. All the great players are going to be protected.
Well, yeah.
But you are going to be losing teams for your sake. The Blackhawks, which build a lot through their farm system, they're going to be losing a lot. At least 1 or 2, maybe 3 guys from that team that they've been building for their future.
Right.
And with nothing they can do about it.
Right, which upsets me, obviously, because it's my squad. But I think there's a lot of teams the way I see it is you can basically protect your top 6 forwards, okay, 1 extra guy. You can protect your top defensive pairing and only half of your second best pairing.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're going to be able to get second-tier defensemen.
Dude, if I'm a team, near the end of the season, I'm switching a defenseman to forward. And I'm just saying, well, please, now forward. We changed him.
I mean, I don't see why you wouldn't do that if that's allowed. I haven't looked at the specifics, you know. So
they probably have to play a certain number of games.
There is a rule though where they're trying to make it. There's an exception where like you can choose to protect just a flat number of players if you don't do it by that system.
And it's 8 skaters.
Right, so you can either protect 11 guys by their position rules or just 8 total skaters.
So just 8 offensive guys.
Yeah, so like if you're a team that's loaded on defense and you kind of bankrupt on offense anyway, you protect your whole defense.
So you can go your first line, right? 3 offensive players, 2 defensive players.
Mm-hmm.
That's 5.
Right.
And you can go, well, we want these next 2 defensive players.
And then the goalie.
And then, right.
I don't. Well, or maybe you can protect the goalie outside separate. Of the skaters. Don't quote me on that.
Well, you have the offensive and defensive skaters you can save plus 1 goalie. Mm-hmm. Or the 8 skaters if you wanted to save more than 1 goalie.
Interesting.
Also, the Diamondbacks won within their first 3 years.
Yeah, they did. Inception. They bought that thing.
They did. But still, but like you said, it. They didn't get the best draft, but they came in with money wanting to win.
Yeah. And the, when they drafted, they got Brian Anderson, who was a decent pitcher. Travis Lee was a good first baseman for them.
Yeah.
And then they either traded or signed Matt Williams, and then they just bought a team to
Kareem
win the World
Garcia.
Series. Yeah, but they paid also for that team. They're still paying Luis Gonzalez and Randy Johnson
right.
and Steve Finley and Jay Bell. I mean, they may have stopped paying them last season. That's how long it's been.
Oh, yeah,
they were
sure.
paying them $1 million or whatever it was every
Weren't
year
they doing
since
those
they retired.
Restructured?
Oh,
kinda
yeah.
Kind of like the Bobby Bonilla deal
yep.
or whatever, where he's still getting paid
yep.
or whatever it is?
That's exactly what they did.
And so, you know, come on, man.
And how, as a player, how can you say no to that?
Dude, if I was a player, I think I would say yes to that when I was in my prime.
Yeah.
I'd be like, actually, I would like you to pay me $2 million of this.
Yeah.
Like, if I was Greinke, I want to take my $208 million, I want to divide it into $2 million a year every year until I die.
With, well.
Why not?
The question, well, because when you win the lottery, you want the lump sum. Because if you die, you don't get any of it. So you want to take as much as you can, but with that said, when you're dealing with $208 million, you can still say $2 million a year for the next 30 years, and what's that, $60 million?
And then you take a huge
And you
chunk.
Just take the rest of that and put that into salary while you're playing.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's, I guess that's what I was saying, is like, you just set it up so that you're getting paid for life, whether you're playing or not. Why wouldn't you
yeah.
do that?
God, just saying $2 million a year for 30 years is only $60 million of the 208.
Of how much he got. That's how much baseball's making right
Although,
now.
Although, with taxes and everything, he's probably taking home about 105 of it, which is, I'm not saying it's not a lot.
No,
I'm
but
not
it's over
that.
Half.
Right.
It's getting taken out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the other thing. I always try to see it that way. I especially think about that stuff with the hockey guys when they sign a contract for like 800K. And you're like, man, after taxes and everything, I mean, it's not like you're poor. I mean, I'm not trying to pretend that they're like struggling,
yeah.
but what do you take home? 400,000, something like that?
350,000? Yeah, you know what we may do as when we get Reddick on the show, I'm going to ask him if he'll talk about how professional athletes get paid because mm-hmm. it's very interesting. And without going over his contract at all, that's nobody's business.
Well, right.
But it's very – also, you can look at it online. but –
Also, if it's structured correctly, most of the time they find the way to pay those salaries, finding the loopholes where they have to pay not less taxes than they're supposed to because they still do pay a ton of taxes, but they'll find a way to like pay a player per game or per gap where they're not hitting a limit.
Yeah. Well, they're okay. So,
especially in hockey and baseball where the salaries aren't LeBron's.
Right. There's a thing with – I can speak about the NBA contract and just knowing JJ's situation. And the way that – first of all, and I'll probably butcher it, so I don't want to get into a lot of it. I'd rather him just come on, and people would much rather he come on and talk about it than me. But to give a quick gist of it is, one, when you get drafted, you take out loans like nobody's business because you don't get paid until the first game of the season. Actually, no, 2 weeks into the regular season. So – in the NBA, you get drafted at the end of June. Well, you still have to live. You find a place to live, you know, situations, the whole nine. You're borrowing money like nobody's business. People will give you loans because they know you just made it in the NBA. Now, depending on who you sign with and where you were signed, you may get a signing bonus that gets paid to you right away. Not always. So you'll get something to pay back. But that first paycheck that you get November 15th from the NBA is going to pay back all the loans that you just got.
Yeah.
And then the next paycheck is going to pay back some more of the loans until those are done. And then you can start kind of figuring out financially what you can do. Now, the paychecks are huge during the season.
Yeah.
But you get taxes taken out immediately. And then the team keeps, I think, 10% of your pay.
Oh, wow.
For the year. And it's for some tax that they do. And then during the summer, you don't get paid at all when the season's over.
Right.
So the tax is to make sure that the team doesn't go overspend. If they overspend, they have that extra money, right? But if they don't, then you get that money back, but you may only get 3% of it back if they overspent during the year. So they just take money that's yours. It's not taken by the state or by the government.
Right.
The team takes it to help themselves. And if they overspent during the season to try and win, you may not get any of it back, and you don't know. You'll just get a check during the summer, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's what you took out of all my paychecks.
Wow.
Granted, they still get paid a ton of money and live a ridiculously great life.
Oh, yeah.
But when you break it down, it's very interesting to break it down. When JJ does it, it's like, let's say you have this much money, but this is all, this is your take home. Like $1 million to take home is like $300,000, which percentage wise is crazy because you got to pay not just the taxes. Now you're paying your manager, your agent, this, that, and the other. That's why endorsements are such a big deal.
Yeah. I feel like there was a ton of things that someone who was fact checking this episode should have probably had to chime in, but I don't even know how. So
we'll get
that. Sounds crazy.
Don't worry about it. JJ will be on.
he'll come in and thoroughly fact check it by telling us how it works. Okay, cool. So you're good.
I'll just have him explain it. I'll just sit and I'll just ask him ahead of time. Look, this is what we want to hear from you for a little bit.
Cool.
So go into it. And again, I can't explain it very well, but he obviously can. He's been in the league for 11 years and he's seen that money come and go.
Yeah.
And he knows it very well. But it, to me, that's very interesting. It's not funny, obviously. It's not like a comedy type of thing. But it's so interesting because we don't live in that world.
No, that'd be cool to hear about.
Yeah, to hear those kind of checks being written and know where that money goes, is interesting to me.
No, but I also think it's a good perspective for sports fans. I'm not saying that sports fans are ignorant. I'm sure there's plenty of sports fans who know exactly how contracts work. But a casual sports listener, you know, you say like, this guy makes $10 million a year and he can't even hustle down first base. Well, maybe he only makes $1 million a year, so he doesn't really need to hustle.
Also, another thing that I found pretty interesting is when you see something on a ticker and it says so-and-so signed for 4 years, $40 million, mm-hmm. and it's, oh, they make $10 million a year. One, we know as sports fans, it's broken down. They may make 15 1 year, five another year. That's just the way the team does it. So they know how much to pay for each season to get their rosters correct. Another thing that I found fascinating is it's not just 40 million. It's like to the cent of $40,708,004.28. And they, for accounting, they keep track and they're like, you can't go over this threshold. So, but we still have to use some of the money. How can we get these dollars to equal up? And they will throw that into deals where it's like, yeah, the $40 million is the chunk. But here's, you know, $200,000 we have to put in, $50.
Yeah, an erroneous
and 6 cents.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So when you sign the contract, it's literally to a cent of what you're seeing. And then they break it down for the year so you know exactly what you're getting each year.
Dude, we got to.
It's nutty, dude.
We actually need to look that up. I was going to tell you, your boy Brent Burns.
He just signed a deal.
Somebody said it was like eight.
Yeah, eight for 64.
Okay, so he's eight mil for 8 years?
Yeah.
I wonder what the cap hit. Is it going to be eight every year?
Probably not. That's what I'm saying. It's probably not. And this is something too. I'm ever sure everybody listens to the show, listens to like no sports.
Yeah.
But when they talk about front loading or back loading contracts, front loading means they're paying the majority of it the first few years, and then the back end is pretty inexpensive. A backloaded contract, just the opposite. We're going to pay you a smaller amount the first couple years, and then backloaded is where you start making a ton of money, which is why you'll hear 8 years, $64 million. Let's say it's backloaded. A lot of teams like to do backloaded contracts because they want to release you as it gets, or trade you as it gets to the end of the contract. They'll do the first year at $4 million. Second year at $3 million. So that's only $7 million in 2 years.
Right.
When you're thinking he's making eight. Then when they get towards the back end, it's like, oh, well, now he's taking $12 million, $14 million. Paul Goldschmidt's contract was like that.
Yeah.
Or is like that. A lot of it is backloaded where it was like $8 million 1 year, and then it progressively grows. So it's not just a flat single rate every single season. And again, teams do that so that they can sign other players to a shorter contract and fit them into the salary cap for those seasons.
Yeah. You got some numbers or what?
Wait, what are you guys talking about?
All right, that's good.
I just found only about 15 athletes make more money on endorsements than they do on their salary. That's about
what. And they're not major. They're probably not major athletes yearly.
Then that's all sports.
Right.
Most athletes make their money on their salary, like what you're talking about. There's only about 15 out of all of them who can make endorsement money that raises their actual salary.
Only one endorsement contract is more than their salary, or all their endorsement money put together in a year is more than their
endorsement salary. Contracts surpass together. What their actual yeah, team right. salary
But I'm saying combined.
All of no. their, if they have endorsements from like eight companies, they're factoring all of that into the endorsement.
Most athletes don't have that, but like if you're a Tiger Woods and you have multiple,
then they're probably one of the 15.
You're surpassing, so you're one of the 15.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does it have the 15 listed?
I bet
that'd be interesting.
LeBron James yes, has
LeBron
to.
Has to. And
it does, but it's from 2015.
What is it? That's still not too long. It's only 1 year ago.
It is Neymar.
Yep, for Barcelona.
Oh.
Soccer.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. I was like, I know that name. How the hell do I know?
Their team is sick. They have Suarez and Messi. It's like, dude, enough.
Yeah, it's like, stop playing.
Rafael Nadal.
Okay.
I didn't think about soccer. See,
here's the thing with tennis and golf. You only make as much as you make winning. You don't get a flat rate salary.
It's kind of all endorsement base. Yeah.
Ernie Els.
Golf.
Dude. Right.
Makes sense because he doesn't win a lot.
Respect to Ernie Els, though, for getting that money.
At number 12, Maria Sharapova.
Tennis. Yeah, her endorsements have to be crazy.
At number 11, Sachin Tendulkar.
See, that's why I don't watch hockey, man.
Killed it. Killed
He's
it.
He's a cricket.
Uh-oh.
He's a cricket player.
Damn. Wow. The cricket money.
Hold on. To be honest, his endorsements are $15,000. Contract is 10.
Number 10, Lina. Lina was sadly forced into early retirement in 2014 when she was playing some of her best tennis ever.
Why? Or are you just going to leave us out there with that?
Oh, do you want to know?
Okay.
I didn't tennis, actually too. Know that she was a tennis player, and that's my fault as the worst sports analyst in history. But because I'll be honest, like the first three names he said, I was like, yeah, sure.
She was playing some of her best tennis ever when she reached her record highest position of world number two shortly before. Oh, she had a knee injury. And she still has endorsements with Mercedes, Nikes, Rolex, and Samsung.
Wow.
The real basement dwellers.
Next up is number nine, Mahendra Singh Dhoni.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Who is the highest paid cricketer in the world.
Oh, there you go.
Dude, cricket is dope.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
Number eight, Phil Mickelson.
Oh.
Golf again, it's these sports. Sorry.
Number seven, David Beckham.
Obviously, damn, dude. That guy gets paid for endorsements.
David Beckham is just filthy rich, whatever.
You're going to love this. Hold on, I accidentally hit a
also,
video.
What about Michael Jordan? Does this count because his endorsement is like his own company?
Yeah.
Right. Well, sorry, we'll see. I hit an ad on accident.
Stack, I got an important email.
But we're only at number... Shit, sorry.
That's all right.
That ad really threw off this whole article.
No, you're good, man. Just keep the stats coming. Because I'm going to... Real quick, while you... Oh, go ahead.
Beckham was seven.
Okay.
Man, and right now seven. We are moving to number six, who is Michael Jordan... And that ad was for John Cena, which got me real worried that number six was John Cena. But no, it's Michael Jordan.
Jordan number six.
That's crazy because that means okay. So who? Let's try to guess who might be ahead of him.
All right.
Because to me, Michael Jordan. I was like, he's one. He's number one. He has to be
current endorsements. Current.
That's what I'm saying. He owns the company.
Current 2015. He wasn't even playing. He doesn't have a salary for sports.
That's what I'm saying. So it's clearly going to outweigh his salary.
Okay. If John Cena counts as an athlete.
He was not. It was just an ad for something with John Cena.
Like The Rock. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's see.
What about, LeBron James has to be up there.
I'd say LeBron and Tiger.
Because didn't LeBron James sign like a lifetime deal with somebody that's worth like billions of dollars?
Also... I want to say, like, Rory McIlroy or Justin Spieth. I'm going to go an or with that.
Okay, so either one of those will count for you.
At number five, who do you have, Kevin?
I'm going to go Rory.
Oh, man, dude. I'll just take a stab in the dark and say Derek Jeter.
Oh, good one.
And number five is Roger Federer.
Oh man. Should have went Feds, dude.
Most known for his Gillette campaign.
Oh,
yeah.
He is Gillette. Gillette doesn't exist. Dollar Shave Club overtakes him if it's not for that guy. So
Federer.
Number
so stupid.
God love Federer.
Oh, you know what? There's Serena Williams. She's going to be in there for sure, dude.
Okay.
Let's By just, the way, this is according to sportsdurg.com. Yeah,
whatever.
Okay. It's fine. This is all for fun.
But at number four, who do you have?
Oh, man.
I think I'm going to go Rory McIlroy until he gets picked, and he may never get picked.
What about somebody like Michael Phelps?
Ooh.
Like an Olympian. Good one. Like an Olympian.
I want Phelps. Phelps.
Let's do Phelps.
I fucking love this. George Foreman.
George Foreman with his goddamn grills? How does that guy still make... I saw a new grill made that does the same damn thing. It's like his patent has gone up.
How did it's I sleep? Expired. How did I sleep on George Foreman?
Dude, how? How didn't you? The guy's been sleeping for 80 years.
Sleeping on money.
Fucking no shit he is. George Foreman... Is he George Foreman 5? Is that the kid? One of his kids has the thing now? Seriously,
does it have a number? Like how much he made? No, you don't have to look. I just if it had one.
It's there, it's there. It has a number.
Oh boy, this is gonna kill me, dude. I can feel it in my bones. It's gonna be like 200
mil. When's the last time someone bought a George Foreman grill,
dude? They have a contract with like department stores, so everyone you'd kind of like for Christmas gets
what,
one.
What number did you just say?
Like 200 million.
Nailed it.
What? Nice, bro. Fifth pound.
I know my grill endorsements.
All right, number three.
200 million?
That's what I'm saying, dude. Grill money is good money.
Damn. Number three, Serena Williams.
Serena Williams.
I'm going to go Tiger Woods.
If Sharapova's on that list, Serena Williams
I feel
is
like
on that
this
list.
Motherfucker can see my screen. It's Tiger.
Tiger? Oh, my God. You're a genius.
Dude, all I'm doing is I'm just picking people that I'm like, this dude is so astronomically popular.
Good call.
So that's all I'm doing at this point.
Good call. All right, so if it's Tiger, there's no more Rory.
I think I have one.
I like Phelps, but if they're going by dollar amount at $200 million,
I know,
no way Phelps
there's no way
that.
Phelps has that money. That's exactly when I was like, but maybe he does, dude. Think about it. He's got the Subway money, and he's also got...
Oh, I got Michael Strahan.
So I'm going to give you guys both a hint. I'm going to give you guys
both. Is that a good one? I think
that's a good guess. It's not the right answer. I'm going to give you both a hint. These are people who make more off endorsements than they do off their actual check.
Okay.
All right.
So that is, one, what I thought this whole list was.
Yeah. Also, Jordan hasn't collected a contract check for
That's
years.
Why he should have been one.
It was what his check was worth.
So 30 million?
Oh, they adjusted. They adjusted.
Well, okay. It's, hey,
also,
you got
Wizards
paid
days,
this much
he took
for,
like 2 million.
Yeah, you got paid this much for a season. This is how much you make off endorsements. Okay.
His last season with the Bulls was 30 million.
Would there be.
Last season with the Wizards was 2.
Would there. Okay, here's the thing, though. This is 2015?
Yeah.
Okay, so I still feel like. We're in the hunt by using Derek Jeter or Kobe Bryant.
I'm sticking Serena Williams until this ends.
So I know why you both feel that way, but I think number two is going to give you a good indication on how you need to think for number one, because it's Maria Sharapova, who made
You already named her.
I thought Maria Sharapova was way down at the bottom.
No, I'm sorry. Anna Kournikova.
Oh. Anna hasn't won or played in so long.
Right. She's made
She's got that Enrique Iglesias money.
She's made $3.5 million at her height for her tennis career.
Yeah.
But is worth over $50 million on endorsement deals.
Okay.
And number one is a better athlete, but again, is somebody that would make less off their annual check and more off endorsements.
Should we ask for a clue, like what sport?
Yeah, I'll give you
a clue. One of the greatest athletes you've ever seen in your lifetime.
Michael Phelps. It's got to be Phelps. Because he doesn't get paid shit for the Olympics. But he's got that endorsement money. Look at all the endorsements.
I know. But I just feel like...
I'm saying Phelps.
I'm saying the sprinter.
Usain Bolt? Good call.
This motherfucker can see Bolt, my screen.
Wow.
It is Usain Bolt.
As soon as you gave us the tennis example.
Yeah, he's got like 200,000 a year for running, but he makes like 25 mil.
Wow.
For Gatorade ads and whatever.
Yeah. As soon as you gave us, because Joe, the way he said it, when he was like, you got to think about the, then we got whatever her name was before this. Not Sharapova.
Again, I already forgot it.
Anna Kournikova.
Good Lord. And Anna Kournikova was probably the best women's tennis player. I don't know why I'm forgetting her name.
No, she never won a tournament.
She was like the eighth best, but she was still the hottest tight. Women's tennis player.
She was by far the best looking. No, she was by far the best looking. She never won a tournament.
I don't know shit about tennis. I just assume she was like the all-time hundreds of championships, by the way.
She never won once. She's like Danica Patrick. Never won. Well, Patrick won once in some Japan race. But Kournikova never
Danica
did.
Patrick?
Then she started dating Enrique Iglesias, gave up tennis because she could live off his money, make those endorsement checks, lived her life. She's been crushing it.
So she's the smartest.
Smartest tennis player ever. Man, and yeah, Serena Williams wouldn't be on that list because she wins too much. Dude, the checks that she gets, she's made millions of dollars on tennis.
I was low-key holding on to Usain Bolt. It felt like for like 8 people because I was like, he's the most famous runner in the world probably. And I'm like...
Do you remember how important that was when we were kids growing up? The fastest man in the world.
Right.
And how big Carl Lewis was. Like, he was a god.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So I was thinking about it the whole time. I'm like, he's got to be on this list. But I did not think he'd be one. I mean, I thought he'd be like in the 7 range or something. I didn't realize he made that much off his endorsements.
Also, making $200,000 a year on running is pretty good. It's not bad.
That for me...
Just sprinting 100
like
meters?
Hell is what it sounds like.
Well, you're
if
right.
somebody said, I'll give you $200,000 a year to run, I'd laugh at them. But if they said you'll get 25 mil in Nike endorsements, I still would probably not do it. I hate running. I hate running so much.
Are you a goofy runner? When's the last time you ran?
I ran like last week. I run a lot to try and...
So you're doing it for free.
I just don't want to... Yeah, but I don't like it ever.
All right.
You know?
Just don't want to make money on it because you're humble.
Yeah, of course.
All right. Well, I think that is... It's very interesting.
Yeah, it's a wild list, I'll be honest with you. That was a good find, Joe.
Yeah.
That was killer.
Thank you. That's why he's here, man. That guy, best stat guy in the biz. I also...
Amen.
...will say... Would you sign an endorsement deal based on money? Would here's a better question. Would money be able to buy you as an athlete? Or would you only sign your endorsement deal based with the company that you actually enjoy and want their gear and want to work with?
I honestly think that that's what I would be. I know it sounds weird, but I'm just like, the money's okay.
Is it because you know you'll get paid regardless? Maybe not as much, but you'll still make money enough to live.
Yeah, you're still getting money, but you're doing it, but it's with something you love. So it's like that's the extra. The difference between the money is that you genuinely love what you're
would
getting.
Would you do it like Shaq, where you have your contract, right? So you're getting paid to play basketball, but you have these endorsement deals and you're going to live off of the endorsement deals. Or would you say, this is my NBA contract? Or whatever, baseball contract, and say I'm going to live off of that, and the endorsement deals is what I'm saving and putting away and this and that.
Yeah, that I think I would. I think I would be exclusively saving my endorsement money. I don't think I would touch my endorsement money.
Shaq did the opposite.
Well, and that's good, too. It's just that, like, I know me, and I need hats and gear and stuff. So, like, I need...
You're getting that from... Look, New Era calls you up. And they're like, we're gonna give you $500,000, but all the gear you want.
Okay, yeah, but then my player salary is definitely just going in the bank because I'll say, okay, I'll use your $500,000. Give me all the free hats and a $500,000 gift card to the New Era
what
shop.
What are your top three endorsements that you would want?
Has to be New Era. New Era, New Balance.
New Balance would hire you right now.
I love...
Just tell them you got a sports podcast.
I love New Balance.
They're a very comfortable shoe.
Oh, New Balance has recently been endorsed by the white supremacist movement.
Dude,
as the official shoe
of
white...
Here we go, Chris. Here you go, buddy.
The official shoe of white
people. Let's talk about this.
You're right on board.
No, come on, man. Let's talk about this. Those guys can try to get in on my style all they want. But New Balance...
You guys have the same haircut.
New Balance is a shoe for everybody. And those guys... I mean, it's their it's their right to buy a pair if they want, but I'm not in with that crew. I don't like white supremacists.
You don't roll with the white supremacists.
I don't like when people are white supremacists at all. I think that's wrong wholeheartedly.
But I'm looking.
But I can't stop them from buying shoes online.
I'm looking at the New Balance website, and it does say, as the tagline, the official shoe of stepdads.
Bam. Let's also talk about this. But let's talk about this.
Awesome.
The reason I buy New Balances is because they have made in the USA New Balances. And I buy my stuff made here as much as possible.
Hoorah. Hoorah. Fucking fake ass Marine.
I'm just saying.
Semper Deuce.
I'm just saying. That's why I buy a lot of New Balance. I love New Balance. Cause, plus, I'm fat. Hoorah. They support me a lot.
I love it. I'm fat and they support me. Okay, if that's what endorsements were like, right? So these people are making all money and we're kind of going off of how much they made and then how much money the endorsements they had. So Anna Kournikova's blowing up.
Maria Sharapova.
She's blowing up. What about like the professional eaters like Joey Chestnut and Kobayashi? I don't think they get paid. Do they get paid at all?
I think they get paid in hot dogs.
Right? So I love hot dogs. I'm going to be a hot dog eater.
To be serious, they're delicious.
Joey, look up how much Joey Chestnut makes. What would you do to endorse him?
Elastic waisted pants. Oh, those Dockers. The Dockers with the little stretch thing in them.
So...
Elastic waist pants, diapers,
New Balance.
So the number two eater in the world at the moment, Joey Chestnut, makes around $800,000 a year.
Whoa.
Mostly
800K?
Mostly on winnings from his competitions, but he also gets around $300,000 in endorsements.
What?
From who? Do we know? I mean, if you don't.
Hot dogs?
Nathan's, Hebrew National,
Ballpark,
Dodger Dog,
Bar S. Oh no, Bar S only endorses the Coyotes. Did I tell you about that when we were at the game and they're like here and they threw like what are those things called? Parachute strapped packages of Bar S hot dogs into the crowd. I'm like, you wanna know why no one comes? Throw hot dogs at people.
There's no buns or condiments that come with it.
This is insane.
I ain't about that.
You're charging $6.75 for a hot dog and you're just going to throw a package of them at me later.
Wow, 800 grand. 500 of that is a competitions?
Yes.
$500,000 is on eating competitions.
I'm trying to find out how much the number one eater in the world, Kobayashi, makes on eating competitions, but I'm having a very hard
time
figuring out how to spell his name.
I wish I could help you, but I don't know either.
Kobayashi?
Maybe. That's got to be close. Kobayashi? Kobayashi?
Nailed it.
Who nailed it? Chris? God damn it. See through that computer.
I'm telling you, dude. How could that have helped me spell it? He kept spelling it
wrong. I have no idea. 800 grand, man. So... if we're saying 500 just for eating food, Chris, what are we doing wrong? Could put down chicken wings like nobody's business.
That's very true.
There's got to be a chicken wing eating contest you can enter.
Dude.
Although I heard they taste like shit at the contest because they're sitting out for so long.
So?
I'm just saying.
Still chicken wings. Here's the deal. You know what? We should do that. Maybe we'll have that. Maybe just spitballing. Ideas are here, so they're trademarked and they're mine. That maybe we have like a little Barroom Heroes like wing festival.
Ooh.
You know?
I'm on board already.
Yeah. We'll be out there cooking up some wings. Yes. Me and you, you know, serving them up, eating them, probably all of them.
Most of them.
I don't know that anyone's going to get any. If you guys want to come hang out and watch me and Kevin cook some wings and eat them. No, seriously, let's work on it. That'd be sweet.
I like that idea. Did you find anything or no?
Kobayashi's salary, I believe, because he lives in a communist country, just go to his people. So I can't find an actual salary.
Jesus. So pretty much Joe is just finding anything that's racist and horrible against other people.
Yeah, right?
He comes not against a person, it's against a government type.
Understood.
Unfortunately,
which is why I have to say this is not what Barroom Heroes is for.
This is the reason that the creator of Tetris doesn't get the credit is because he comes from a communist country where he does not get a lap. I'm sorry, I'm getting
the I'm beliefs fact, of Barroom Heroes.
Meanwhile,
do not follow the
meanwhile
stat guy
in Stat Guy Joe's America, because I bought New Balances, I'm a Nazi.
Please proceed.
I'm sorry, is that a flannel shirt? Because I'm pretty sure Nazis wear flannel now.
Guys,
no.
I hate Nazis and hate white supremacists.
We understand.
Stop pinning me with that.
And how do you feel about communists?
You know what? I'm sure they're nice people. I don't know how their government works. It doesn't seem to work that well.
He would say that.
I'm too dumb to know how it works. Let's do this. Lighter subject, sports related, and we'll end on this one. Minnesota Timberwolves, basketball, in their practice, Zach LaVine was messing around. He's the two-time defending slam dunk champion. Messing around and did a 360 from the free throw line, no problem.
Nice.
And they recorded it and posted it. As if the windmill from the free throw line wasn't good enough.
Which it wasn't.
As if the catching it off the bounce from the free throw line isn't enough. As if the through the legs from the free throw line isn't enough. Remember Jordan just jumped from the free throw line and that was unbelievable because it was so far? LaVine's now like, I mean, it's all right. Yeah. Let me add a 360.
Of course.
This guy, I'm excited to see what he's going to do with his dunk contest. One, I love him because he's from UCLA. He left way too early, and now is, I think, when he'd be a senior.
Okay.
Our team would be so good. Our team's pretty good now with Lonzo Ball and TJ Leaf. God, Lonzo Ball's incredible. And his brothers have signed on, like, they're younger, and they're like, yeah, we're going to UCLA because Lonzo did. And I was like, yes.
Thank the Lord.
They played together his senior year. They played together in high school and won championship. He won state championship 4 years in a row in California. That's hard to do.
Yeah.
He's been playing great. But LaVine left school early. Now he's doing really well for the Timberwolves. But his dunking is next level. I hope Aaron Gordon said he wasn't going to do it again this year. But what a great dunk contest last year.
It was pretty cool. I remember watching it and being like, all right, I could tune in for more of these.
So fun, man. So fun. My favorite for me.
Okay.
All-star game and weekend. This is the way it used to be.
Okay.
Pro Bowl last. Always.
Pro Bowl sucks. Cool.
Just you can announce this is who made the Pro Bowl. You're all stars. You don't have to play.
No one needs to go to Hawaii.
Players don't want to play. Actually, the players love the free trip.
Sure.
They bring their family.
I don't.
Yeah, the game sucks. Nobody watches the game.
It's a flag football game.
Exactly. But they used to do like a quarterback contest, who can throw the farthest, who's the most accurate, fastest runner.
That was cool.
It was great. They don't do that anymore. Remember when they did, when they did the football game in the sand, like the beach football, and then someone tore their knee and they were out for the whole next season. So they're like, yeah, we can't do this anymore. Like, no more messing around. We'll just do the Pro Bowl, which sucks. Hockey for me was third.
Okay.
Because, again, not a huge hockey fan. Baseball was second because of the Home Run Derby. I wish they had more. The Home Run Derby, first of all, takes way too long.
It kind of does, man.
But it's fun. It's fun. When someone gets on a roll and they're just crushing homers, it's fun to watch.
Yeah. When a guy's really like Griffey those couple years where you're just like, my God.
And McGuire.
His swing is beautiful and he's just seeing everything. Yes. It's awesome.
McGuire and Fenway. Bobby Abreu when he went for 28. Josh Hamilton when he was at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
Going for the records. It was great. I would say if they could do like a fastest pitch, right?
Okay.
Sure, Aroldis Chapman throws it fast in a game. But let's let some guys loose that don't even need 100% control.
Yeah, just let them like hump up and throw as long as it's close.
Do an accuracy outfield competition where the ball shoots out to the outfielder, they catch it, and then they have to throw it
through like a hoop
to home plate. Yeah, like a little garbage can or whatever.
Yeah.
Accuracy comp. And you could do all the different bases. Kind of like a 3-point shootout.
Yeah.
Catch the ball, throw it to first. Can they gun him at first? Can they gun him at second, third, home? And you get points or whatever. What else? Just, I would like a different, and you could do baseball, you could do a speed one. Who can run the bases the fastest, or who can steal second quick? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that would make it a little more exciting. However, the Home Run Derby takes like 2.5 hours or 3 hours.
Feels like it takes 2.5 days.
You can't plug them all in. So if there's a way, and it won't happen because people go to the stadium to see the Home Run Derby.
Right.
Maybe make it on a 3-day weekend.
See, like on TV, I bet it's way worse, obviously, than it is there. I bet if you go, it's kind of cool.
Well, here's the thing, too, about the All-Star game for baseball is it's on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
So the Home Run Derby's on a Monday. They play their season to the halfway point or the All-Star point to a Sunday.
Yeah.
But Wednesday, nothing goes on. It's called Black Wednesday. The day after the Major League Baseball All-Star game is Black Wednesday because there's no sports whatsoever. The ESPYs are that night. Yeah. Because they have nothing to compete against. If you made it 3 days, Home Run Derby could still be Tuesday. Could be Tuesday, the game Wednesday. And that skills competition on like Monday because the Home Run Derby takes so long. Unless they find a way to shorten it.
Right.
Say, hey, 4 home run hitters.
Yeah.
2 from National League, 2 from American League. Have at it.
Okay.
Quick the rounds up. Just something maybe talk about. Basketball is my favorite. All-Star Saturday night is one of my favorite nights of the year. Skills competition, 3-point shootout, shooting stars competition that they have where the women, like, they team them up, right? So Phoenix would have a Suns player, a Mercury player, and a legend from the Suns team right. up shooting stars. And they shoot, like, one shoots a layup, another shoots a free throw, another shoots a three, and then they all shoot from half court until someone makes it and it's timed. I love it. And then the dunk competition, which has been really bad forever. Stat Guy Joe, celebrity game. Dude, Friday night before. I love it. You're totally right.
Those are
cool. The celebrity game and the rookie sophomore game.
Those are cool.
Same night. Friday night, they do those. And they're first of all, I love the rookie sophomore game because some of those guys are awesome. And you're getting to watch them in that all-star format where they dunk like crazy, shoot crazy threes, nice passes. It's a lot like the all-star game on Sunday. So that's my favorite.
Okay.
But I watched the hockey All-Star weekend last year, and I love it. So that's second. It won't jump for me NBA.
Okay.
But I love what they did.
Okay. I don't like the NBA All-Star game. No, I'm just kidding.
Went on like a 10-minute description of it all, and I got nothing.
No, I just was giving you a hard time. I don't know. Every All-Star game, I don't really like All-Star games. I know it's cool for fans and stuff, but I just, like, until hockey brought the 3-on-3 format, nobody cared. The final right. score was like 21-19, and there's literally like...
The skills comp in NHL is fun, too. It's
very
though.
Cool.
Like, that Saturday night, right? Do they do the same type of thing? It's Saturday night or Friday night?
Yeah, whatever night. I think it's before the big night. They do shootout, like freestyle, yeah. trick shot
yeah. type stuff. That's all cool. They do the speed, fastest player. Like, dude, I watched it with my son, and we had the best time watching it. It was yeah. so exciting and fun.
And basketball is awesome. They have I would put their second best. MLB just doesn't have much going on. So, and then there's the other one, football.
Do you think they would if the suggestions I put out there were involved? It would go up a little bit. The Home Run Derby gets great ratings.
Oh, for sure. And the other thing is, you'd have to bring in some kind of a like, okay, the skills competition with outfield throws is good. You could also do stuff where it's like, I don't know, kind of like a game of horse, but it's with like, okay, I'm going to hit a ball to the right side. Can this guy accuracy. Hit a ball to the right side?
Yeah.
Can this guy hit a ground ball up the middle? Can this guy hit, you know? But I think on batting practice, they probably could all do whatever they wanted, so it might be tough.
Maybe. Yeah, that's got to be... tough, but I would love to see. I'm telling you, man, an accuracy competition in the outfield. I would love to
that
see
would be
it.
That would be cooler than the Home Run Derby. Just
to see a guy gun it from center field and get it right to home plate, perfect in that zone, whatever they have.
Yeah.
And if you get it in the air there, that's like 2 points. And yeah. if you get it on a bounce, that's 1 point. Yeah. Two or three bounce doesn't count, you know.
What if you did, like, I just had it and I'm going to lose it now. That sucks. Oh, what if you had like a catcher's like pop time throw to second base? Like fastest throw to second base?
Teams would love it because then they'd be like, we're not stealing on Molina anymore.
That's all anyone's doing in the hockey competitions. They're just like, oh, that guy's got a killer thing he does over there. You know,
yeah. Come on. That's true.
You just scout what people, but most people know that stuff already, so.
You're right. Ah, that'd be awesome. We got to write to the major leagues. Let's send them this last part of the episode.
Just crop that.
Yeah, see what they can do. All right, we got it. Let's finish up. Let's get out of here. Everybody, thank you for listening to Barroom Heroes. Do us a favor and go up on iTunes, subscribe, and also leave a 5-star review. If you do a 5-star review and write something nice, we will read it on the next episode that you do that.
That's killer.
So that is. It's fun, man. We'll give you a shout out and anything you put on there, right? If you do a 5-star review and then write something horrible about us, we'll read it. No, we won't. It's got to be, well, yeah, we will. We still will.
We'll talk about it for but sure.
As long as it's a 5-star review. If you go like 1-star and then horrible.
And if you put 1-star and then say something nice because you're thinking about it since we've been just having this discussion, I'll never speak to you again.
Five-star review and write something, and we will read it on the show and give you a shout-out. So thank you very much for listening. Hope you enjoyed it, and get ready to be in Arizona December 28th for the benefit show. We're going to have a good old time at the Yucca Tap Room, 7:30 p.m. Buy your tickets, $10. Other than that, have a good week and enjoy sports.
See ya.